Okay, Chizkuni, Parshas Chayesara. So the Chizkuni has some fascinating things at the very beginning of the Parsha, that from Vayu Chayesara. So, he says, those who like to count gematrias, will see that the gematria of Vayu is 37. And what does that hint to? Because Vayu were Chayesara. Chayesara's life was 37 years. What does that mean? Her life was 127 years. She died at 127. But she had Yitzchak when she was 90. So she had 37 years of life when Yitzchak was alive. So that was like her life, I guess, how she felt that was her life. Or whatever the case is, in some ways considered her life was when she gave birth to Yitzchak, then she was alive 37 years. Okay. The second thing is the 127, right? Her years were 120 and 7. So what does that mean? So Rashi brings that when she was from 100 to 20, she was at 100, like she was at 20 without sin, and she was at 7, like she was at 20, Leofi. Sorry, I said that slightly wrong. She was at 100, she was without sin, like she was at 20, and she was at 20 for beauty as she was at 7. That's the way we have it in Rashi. So that means to say that when she was 100 years old, you would expect that there were some sins. No, she was like 20 when there is no sins. And when she was 20, she was as beautiful as when she was 7. So there's a lot of questions on this. Number one, she was like when she was 100 years old, she was, had no sin like she was at 20. That sounds like a 20-year-old cannot possibly have any sins. So what does that mean? What do you mean a 20-year-old can't possibly have any sins? Well, so if you're thinking, yeah, I thought bar mitzvahs, you get punished. Okay, so Chazal tell us in various different places that really a person doesn't get punished for sin until they're 20. Okay, but at 20, you can get punished. So if she was 20, she is a bas onshin at 20. Should have been before 20, you're not a bas onshin. Once you hit 20, the person is liable for punishments for sins they do, for sure, according to everyone. So 19 would have been more accurate. When she's 20 already, she's a bas onshin, according to all. There are some that say even 13, 12, really, a person's bas onshin. But even if you assume it's at 20, 20 it is. If you're 20 years old, she's liable for onshin. So what does she mean? She was like, at 100 years old, she was like 20 without chait. A 20-year-old could also have chait. So he says a great chap. One second, before we get to that question, answer. There's the other part of the question. It says she was as beautiful at 20 as she was at 7. So usually you think of women at their height of beauty is not at 7 years old. The height of beauty is like 20. 7 years old is a little kid. So what does it mean she was like as beautiful at 20 as she was at 7? Those are the two questions. So the first pshat is fantastic chap. If you remember, Rashi, back in Parshas Noach, told us that at the time before Matan Torah, people were only a ben and bas onshin at age 100. It had to do with why Hashem brought the Mabel when he did, so that Noach's kids wouldn't be 100. Anyway, so no one was liable for onshin before Matan Torah till they were 100 years old. Okay, so what do you call Matan Torah? So the Tana de Elio, the Chizkuni brings, says, when Avram and Sarah started converting people to Judaism, Hanefesh Asher Asu V'charan, that's when Avram was 52, that's the year 2000, so the world had the 2000 years of Tohu, then 2000 years of Torah. The time of Matan Torah, the time of Torah starting, was when Avram started bringing people into being Jewish. So that was when he was 52 years old. That's the Zmana Hanefesh Asher Asu V'charan. That's the year 2000. Avram was born in 1948 in the Jewish numbers, Jewish calendar. The year 2000 is when the 2000 years of Torah start, because the world is divided up into 6,000 years, 2,000 years of Torah, the next 2,000 is Torah. So Matan Torah, according to the Chizkuni, is not the year 2448, but rather the year 2000. So, when Avram started, so the Zman where Onshim stopped being, when being liable for Onshim goes from 100 down to 20, that's in the time of Matan Torah, which is the year 2000, when Avram's 52, which means Sarah was 42. Like this chap. So when Sarah was 20, when she was actually 20, she was not a Bas Onshin, because then Bas Onshin was only when you're 100. And then by the time she was 100, she was already Bas Onchin. So it's telling you that at the Zman, when she was 100 years old, when she was liable for Onchim for sure, she was like 20, like when she was 20, because when she was 20, she wouldn't have been liable to Bas Onchin at that time. That's the Chizkuni's Chap. And then, as far as the later years, the other set of years, 20 to 7, when it says she was as beautiful at 20 as she was at 7, the Chizkuni says she was beautiful, like a 7-year-old doesn't wear makeup. They don't dress up, and they still look cute. Beautiful, whatever. So she was like at 20, meaning she didn't, when she was 20, she was so beautiful, she didn't need makeup, she didn't need to dress up, she was still beautiful with all of that, like a 7-year-old who doesn't dress up. Okay. Then he brings the bomb that in the, there's another Girsa in the Psikta Zutrasa that, has the Girsa, the opposite, the more you would expect, which is she was like, Basmeik Basestrum Leofi. She was at 100 as beautiful as a 20-year-old, and at 20 she was at, without sin like a 7-year-old. Okay, so that Girsa obviously sounds more right, but it's not the Girsa we had in Rashi, so he's explaining that other Girsa. Okay. Anyway, then we have, so Avram has to bury Sarah. So interestingly, the Chizkuni says, the burial of Sarah, we all understand, was a little bit hard for Avram. He had to spend all this money. The Chizkuni says this is one of the 10 tests of Avram Avinu. And not too many Rishonim count this as one of the 10 tests. The Chizkuni says this is one of the Asur Nisyonos that Avram had, having to bury her and spend all this money, and he didn't have any kashas on Hashem. This is one of his 10 tests, so you can give your drushes about why this was such a big Nisayon. You know, you can easily understand why someone would say, okay, even doing the mundane, that's the biggest test. Living as a Torah Jew is the biggest test. Whatever you want to say, but that's what the Chizkuni says. This is the 10th Nisayon. So that means Akedas Yitzchak was the penultimate Nisayon, and the actual last Nisayon was, having to bury Sarah. Okay. Then we have, it says, Ger b'soshav anochi machem. So Avram said, Rashi brings, that you should sell it to me, and if you don't, I'll take it min adin. That's the Ger b'soshav. So it's really Avram's, and therefore he can take it min adin if he has to. Meaning he can act like a ger, but he's really a toshav, it's really his, and he can take it min adin. Because, Rashi says, because it says, the zarecha etenas aretz azos. So it's really Avram's. So the question is obvious. We had a few weeks ago that he got, he was arguing with Lot's herdsmen, people, the shepherds of Lot, because they were grazing in other people's lands, and Avram's shepherd says, you're not allowed to do it. And they said, what do you mean? It says Hashem gave the land to Avram. So it's real, and Lot's going to yarshin him at this point, and therefore it's really ours. And the pasuk goes on to say, "Vaknani az ba'aretz," that it wasn't Avram's yet because the Knanim were living there. So, which is it? Is it considered Avram's? Here, Avram's saying it's like really mine. Yeah, but what happened to Vaknani az ba'aretz? Didn't we say that the Knanim were there in the meantime? He hadn't yarshined it yet. So the Chizkuni has an interesting answer. He says, "Well, that's because Avram yet didn't have any children, because it says Lazarecha atenas aretz azos. Lazarecha sounds like you have children." So until Avram had children, it really wasn't his. Once he had children, then Lozarecha Atinas Aretz Azos, as if it's Makoyim, and then it's considered his. Okay, that's his answer. Okay, later on we have Avram sending off Eliezer to go marry off his kid. So he takes Zakan Beso. Eliezer Zakan Beso. Why is it mentioned Zakan Beso? The Chizkuni says he was old. You don't have to be choshed him on Arayos, so we don't have to worry about him coming back with the girl by himself. He's too old. That's an interesting shot. And then he has to swear Tachas Yerechi. He's supposed to put his hand under Avram's thigh and swear. So Rashi says, because that's where he had the one mitzvah of Mila. The Chizkuni doesn't like that, because then he says it should have said, and he swore by the mitzvah of Mila or whatever. Meaning in the words. Didn't have to grab his thigh. Rather, he says, this was just the way. Meaning someone who's a slave to someone else, that was the derech to put your hand by their thigh, as if to say, I am totally subjugated to this person. And the Cheskuni says, this is what people do today, in his day, in Hodu, which I guess is India, wherever Hodu is, India, I don't know. But anyway, I think it's India. Hodu Vad Kush, wherever that is. So that's what they used to do. That was still the minig, that people who were subjugated by someone else, if they would put their hands, I guess, near the, below the, by his leg, I guess, to show that they were, subjugated to this person. That's the way people show that sign. So he just takes it, and it's very pashut pshat that was just a minig of how people showed that subjugation. Then in Perek Chavdal, Pasuk Zayin, it says, Hashem Elokei HaShemayim, Hashem Lekachanu Beis Avi, Hashem God of Heaven. So Rashi brings, and not God of Earth. Rather, now he was Elokei HaShemayim. Originally, Hashem was just Elokei HaShemayim. Avraham is the one who brought him to Earth, meaning he made him known on Earth. So the Chizkuni just brings something brought by other Rishonim as well, in Maseches Brachos, that when we say the first bracha of Shemona Esrei, we do not say Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, right? We don't start the first bracha of Shemona Esrei, Baruch Ata Hashem, we don't say Melech Olam. We say Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu, Elokei Avosinu, Elokei Avram, instead of Melech Olam. Because it's the same thing. Avram is the one who made him, so to speak, Melech Olam, meaning known. That is, by saying Elokei Avram, you're saying Hashem's Malchus, because Avram made Hashem known, Bifi Abrius made him Melech Olam in that sense. Or that's kind of the way the Rush writes it. The Chizkuni's way he says it is, you can't write Melech Olam Elokei Avraham because there was no Melech Olam before Elokei Avraham. Okay, next. So we have the test Eliezer makes, and he's going to stand by the water, and whoever goes to get him water, she's the one that's the right one for Yitzchak. Why is it dafka by the water? So the Chizkuni explains, because it's outside the house. Anything she does inside the house, that could be just what they tell her to do in the house. It doesn't show what she on her own thinks. Stuff outside the house is on her own, and that's why it would show whether she's really balas chesed. And then he mentions, that the Gemara discusses this, about the Isra of Nichush, right? This, you're not allowed to do a test that's not based on anything. So like a kind of superstitious test. Anyway, this is, the Gemara discusses whether this was Nichush. Eliezer made a test and says, if she brings up water for me, then I know that's the one for Yitzchak. How do you know that that's the one? Is it a superstitious test? Anyway, there's different answers. Maybe the most obvious was it wasn't superstitious. It was a thing to see if she's a Balas Chesed. Okay. Anyway, there are different answers, but the Chizkuni says it's not Nichush because it was just a simon, and he wasn't really being somich only on this simon. He wasn't relying completely on this siman to see whether she was the right one for Yitzchak. Remember, Avraham wanted her to be related. And if you read the psukim, it sounds like he just immediately gave her the ring without asking any questions. So now the Chizkuni says he wasn't really being somech on this test. It was a siman to him, but he wasn't really relying on that, because that would be Nichush. And he understands the story, even though we're used to Rashi, where he actually gave her the ring first and then asked her what family she's from. The Chizkuni said, nah, he didn't actually give her the ring. He got him ready. He got the ring ready to give to her, but he didn't give it to her before he actually asked her where she's from. According to this pshat, you have to say when the Pasuk says that after the camels finished drinking, that he took rings and ushneitz midim al yadeha meant to put on yadeha, not that it was actually on yadeha, which is a little bit of a dochik. And he says the next pasuk that says vayomer basmiat means he had already said basmiat. He had already said who you're the daughter of. So when it says either, it means when you put it on her hand to put it on her hand, and he had asked, or it means that's going out of order. He put it on her hand, and he had already asked basmiat. Okay, whatever shot you want to say. Okay, and then we have in Pasuk Chav Zayin, Eliezer says, "Vayomer Baruch Hashem Elokei Aduni Abraham Asher Lo Azav Chasdo Vamitom Mim Aduni Anochi Baderech Nachani Hashem Beisachei Aduni." So he says, "Baruch Hashem." So the Chizkuni says, anytime you find anywhere, whether it's in davening or psukim or mishnayos or tefila or peiros, when you see Baruch Hashem, it's a way of saying hello. like when you say the word shalom, it's the shame of Hashem. So Baruch Hashem, it's a way of saying, you know, like you should be blessed to God. I think that's what it means. And in second shalom, it means a lashon of praising Hashem, shvach. Okay, now this is fascinating. In Pasuk Lamed Beis, it says, Vayavoi Shabaisa Vayvatachlam Agamalim. Okay, and then, so he comes to Laban's house, and they give him Mayim Lerchotz Raglav. They give him water to wash his feet. Now we had before, when, last week's parasha, when you want to have people washing their feet, they had to do with, you know, they used to bow down to the dirt on their feet. Rashi told us last week's parasha. So you wash people's feet off before they come in your house if you're makbid on Avodah Zarah. Since when is Lavan makbid on Avodah Zarah? So you would think the pashpshat is gave him to wash his feet because he wants to wash his feet. The Chizkuni says here, that no, he want them to wash his feet to get rid of the Avodah Zarah, Lavan, in case. Now, Lavan wasn't over the Avodah Zarah. So why would Lavan care if Eliezer might bring in some of Avodah Zarah with him? Okay, now there are different readings of this Chizkuni. This is how I understand his question. That it's Lavan who gave Eliezer water to wash him and his men's feet. And it's the Chizkuni understands that it's to get rid of the Avodah Zarah. Why would Lavan have cared? The Pasuk just before says, Vanochi Pinisi Habayis, which means I got rid of all the Avodah Zarahs. So Lavan's an Ovid Avodah Zarah. So what in the world would he care if they came in with dirt on their feet, which they could worship? He says, Mikal Makmam Makbid Hayal Avodah Zarah Cheres Mishalo. Lavan was Makbid on other Avodah Zarahs. So he was an Ovid Avodah Zarah, meaning the ones he worshipped, those were fine. The other ones that Eliezer might bring it in, not so fine with those. So that's how I understand what he's saying. Therefore, he wanted to wash off his their feet. They should bring in that kind of Avodah Zarah, but his own Avodah Zarahs he was fine with. Okay, anyway, then we all know the story. By the way, you can look it up. Like I said, there are other people who read the Chizkuni different. That's the way it seems to me. Okay, then we have the Eliezer telling over the story about how he to Lavan and the family, about how he met Rivka and that whole story. And we know most of us from about what happened to Besuel. Besuel somehow disappeared. Rashi just gives you a very quick version of it in Pasuk Nedhei, and just says that Besuel was trying to get in the way of the Shidduch, and a malach came and killed him. Okay, what exactly happened? So the main story I think most of us are familiar with, that Besuel tried to poison Eliezer, and the malach Gavriel came and changed flipped the plates, so that Besuel ended up eating the poison, and Besuel died. Okay, that's a story you probably heard in third grade. The Chizkuni brings that Agadita. It's a Medrash. Probably you did not hear in third grade. The other Davar Acher, he brings another Pshat, that he was called Besuel because he was the king of Aram, Besuel was, and he was Boel every Besula in town before they got married. All the Besulas in town, I don't know if it's before they got married, but all the Besulas in town went to him first. Usually it's before they got married, because he was the king, and sometimes kings had those rules. So, and he says, the people of his city wanted him to even be Boel, his daughter, Rivka, before she got married, like the kings would do in general with girls before they got married, some kings. See, they wanted him to do it even with his daughter. And if not, they would kill him, and eventually he agreed, and so Gavriel came and killed him. That probably did not make it to your third grade class. Okay, next. So they say, Teshev Hanara Itanu. They say, why doesn't she stay with us for a year or so? Now, if you look back, this is a little surprising, right? That's Pasuk Nunhei. Said, Vayomer Achia Vima, Teshev Hanara Itanu Yamimo Asara. Let her stay with us for a year, right? And then if you look back, 5 seconds before that, Pasuk Nun, it says, right, when Eliezer finished his story, Vayan, Lavan, Abasol, Vayomer, Mi Hashem, Yotza, Dover, Lanuchal, Daber, Lecha, Rao, Tov, Hine, Rivkala, Fanecha, Kach, Valech. go. Take Rivka. You guys go get married. Go. And then when Eliezer hears this, he's all happy, and he gives her all this money, and they eat, and all of a sudden they say she should stay another year. What? You told him 5 minutes ago you said stay, you know, go right away. What happened in between? So the Chizkuni says an interesting shot, because they didn't realize that Eliezer was a shliach. They just thought he's there as a lookout, but then when he finds a girl, he's going to bring her back to Yitzchak. Yitzchak's going to be Mekadesh her. So they said, okay, take her back to Yitzchak and let Yitzchak be Mekadesh her. And then, of course, you'll bring her back here, because usually, like we know from Ksuvas, takes time to prepare the wedding, like a year. But when Eliezer takes out all the money and gives her all this stuff, so they realize that they're not going back for Yitzchak to give her Kedushin. Then they say, oh, so you had Kedushin? Oh, okay, then she should stay here for a year till we get ready for the Chasna. So it sounds to me, according to this, they didn't understand the giving of the... it's actually explicit in the Chizkuni, that the Kedushin was not the giving of the tzmidim, the thing he put on her hands, that was not the actual Kedushin. That was like, a matana, shiduchin, sivlonos. That was a precursor to the Kedushin. That was gifts, but not the actual official Kedushin. And he only gave her the Kedushin now. In this pasuk, Nun Aleph, when it says he gave her klechechetz and klezav of a gadim, that was Kedushin. The stuff beforehand was just presents. Okay, anyway, he brings her back to Yitzchak, and vayavo ha'ola Sarah imo. Remember, we all know from Rashi that it returned, the things from Sarah returned. What was that? While Sarah was alive, there was a ner dalok, mer of Shabbos, ler of Shabbos, this candle that was lit from mer of Shabbos, ler of Shabbos. There was bracha metzuya be'isa, and there was a cloud over the ohel. So the Chizkuni says this is keneged the three mitzvahs of the lady, Nida Chala and Hadlakas Haner. So Chala, there was bracha, because Sarah and Rivka, they kept Chala, there was bracha metzuya be'isa, because they were careful to light Hadlakas Haner on Shabbos, there was a Ner Dalek Mer of Shabbos, Ler of Shabbos, and the Anan Kashur, so how does that connect to Nida? So the Chizkuni says, because a cloud is something that passes, and then comes again, it passes and comes again, clouds. That's the idea of Nida, something similar. So she kept that, so she had a cloud over her tent. Gur Aryeh explains it a little bit differently, that it brings to Tahara, brings to Ruach HaKodesh, and that's the cloud over the tent. Okay. Next thing we have is Avram marries Keturah. So here we have a very classic Chizkuni type pshat. Chizkuni asks all the steers, and a lot of the steers in Rashi are thinking, you know, you have to put it all together. Again, you'll see these are things. Okay, Keturah, who's Keturah? Rashi says Keturah is Hagar. Okay, so why is she called Keturah? Al-Shem Shinaim Ma'aseh Keturahs, because her Ma'asim are beautiful like a Keturahs. Okay, so ask the Chizkuni, what do you mean in the story where Yishmael and Hagar are wandering and Yishmael is about to die of thirst, right? And Hagar leaves him. She stays far away from him, and it says, Vatelech Vatesa. Rashi says she went back to her Avodah Zarah's. Uh-huh, okay, so which is it? Did she go off the derech? Or is she Keturah and Naam Asah Keturah? So the Chizkuni says, again, many of us maybe would say, okay, you don't have to put every medrash together with each other, they don't necessarily work, but the Chizkuni says, no, it means that she went off and did a Avodah Zarah, it was a weak moment, and then she did tshuva. Or it meant that she was gonna go, she wanted to go do her Avodah Zarah, but she never did. Okay, the first shot sounds more simple, but okay, just mentioning he has that kasha. And just finally, one interesting thing, when it says the B'nei HaPilakshim Nasan Avraham Matanos, when it says to the B'nei Pilakshim Avraham gave Matanos, so Chazal says, Shem Tumah Masar Lahem. He gave them the Shem Tumah. What exactly does that mean, the Shem Tumah? So, right? It's a Gemara in Sanhedrin. So the Chizkuni says the Shem Tumah is, he gave them a shame that they could say B'tumas Aguf. Apparently there's a Shem Hashem that I guess does something and, you know, has some whatever power, but usually with the Shem Hashem, the person has to be Batara, right? To say Hashem Hashem, person has to be Batara, like we know from many piyutim we say. But this was a shame that and it would hurt the person, harm the person if they said the shame Hashem, Batumas Aguf. So he gave them a shame that could be said Batumas Aguf. That's just an interesting, pshat, he says. He brings another pshat, the Chas V'Shalom Avram would not have given them a shame Hashem, period. Rather, he gave them a shame to be Mashbia, the Shadim, with ones on top of them. So just shame tumma meant regular tumma. In other words, not a shame Hashem, just some way they have tumma so that they could do this thing. And he says, Araya, He says, Araya ledavra, because the gematria of matanos, minus the vav, is in gematria lamdam lahashbiya shadim. So that's really what he gave. That's the gematria of matanos, minus the vav, is the same as lamdam lahashbiya shadim. Hashadim. Okay. All right, that's it. Let's stop here.